concentrate on some of the specific questions you asked, but I'd also remark that I read through the transcript and I asked what more was I getting out of that than I already had down, and the answer is not a lot. There are a few things we went into more detail, and I think it might be a more efficient use to, unless you have specific questions, and maybe there's no other way to do it, but maybe you skip over the stuff that I've already written extensively about and go on to other aspects of my career. So.
Well, I'll leave that up to you. I certainly, as I said, I'm just going through some of the notes that you had given me here, that there were some things that...
Let me respond to the specific questions you have, but I won't go discursively through the things I've already written.
Okay.
At length about. If they've raised questions, you mind, let's respond to those.
Well, let me go back then through some of your early childhood just to verify some things. You had commented about some early traumatic events. You mentioned it in the transcript but did not elaborate. I didn't know whether you wanted
traumatic.
To do that.
Traumatic. I'm wondering what that was. I thought I said I did not have any traumatic experiences that the kind that others often refer to. I didn't lose anybody. I had parents who took good care of me. I don't recall anything traumatic. So,
well, you may have been referring to this one note here about the burn on the left arm.
Oh,
that kind of thing.
Kid stuff,
right?
And really, it is.
You talked about remembering Lindbergh's parade.
Yes. Okay.
That's going back pretty early.
Oh, okay. Now I recall. Yes, I recall a few accidents, and having it described as traumatic has some implications of lingering consequence, which I didn't mean to imply. So technically, it's correct.
Okay.
I had a few falls, and I pulled the tablecloth. My parents used to quote this as an example of curiosity killing the cat, but I pulled a tablecloth that had a steam kettle on it, and they said I was constantly doing things like that, and I have a burn to this day along my arm, so it was pretty extensively burned, so yes, I do remember that.
We've talked about, we didn't identify the school. You went to PS 46 grade school. We didn't identify it last time. You talked about your teachers and their contract and the contracts you had with your, what you felt were very compassionate, understanding.
Yes, I teachers. Think that was well phrased in the transcript.
what kinds, we were going back pretty early grades, what kinds of things were you doing while the other children were doing the regular?
The study my own textbooks would be 4, 5, 6 years ahead in grade what they were looking at.
You were drawing then basically on the textbooks that the older children were using, or were your teachers helping you focus on other things?
No, it was mostly I have a library that I did get some help from the librarians. But it was books about chemistry, physics, mathematics, astronomy, biology. I remember reading Huxley, Science of Life. It's a very good snapshot of general biology at that time. Do you know those books?
I know of them. I don't know them specifically. I was going to ask you about the Kruse books, The Hunger Fighters, Microplanets.
That's right. I've mentioned those in my writings. I don't know if that's what I had in the classroom, but there was certainly contemporaneous. I remember the picture, Arrowsmith, somewhere around 1930, about maybe 32. I would have been about 7.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that. So there were the inspirational works, Jaffe's Crucibles. I've dug out what I could and written it down. I can't add much to that. But I also read adventure stories and fairy stories and things of that sort. It was pretty eclectic, and I had the ambition to know everything. And sort of knew that wasn't possible, but I was going to give it a hard try.
Science fiction was starting as a genre at that
time. Yeah, I don't remember that per se. H.G. Wells, yes. That's about as much as I can recall of that particular kind of fiction. I sort of looked down on it. I would criticize the science that they were attempting to portray in it.
The one thing that I was curious about was the trip to Israel.
Yeah.
Which we did not discuss. And
well, this is my mother's first return to her homeland.
This was 1933.
Yeah, so she'd left in 24, and she had two children, and bring them home to her sisters and nieces and nephews and cousins. Her parents were probably in, well, I don't know where they were. They were occasionally in the States, occasionally in Israel. They changed location, but so it wasn't for her own parents, but it was her sister's family. And, I have a picture that I can recall the taking of it with them. And this was under the mandate. There had been some serious riots, but more was yet to come after that point. At that time, it was pretty peaceful. It was the flowering of Zionism. There were new settlements coming up everywhere, and the desert was being made to bloom and so on. There was that spirit well in place at that time, but already problems with limits on immigration into Israel. We were not part of that. We had emigrated. But it was already a fairly inspiring place. We did see some of the historic sites. Had free access to all of Palestine, which took a long time after the war for that to be the case again. mostly we were put away in a camp for the summer. We did some traveling around, but my brother and I were in a boys' camp. We had to learn Hebrew to survive. Had learned some of it in Hebrew school at home, and so that was somewhat circumscribed. But I remember seeing a lot of citrus groves, the beginnings of some towns, and as of that time, it was obvious that things were just being brought out of the desert.
You mentioned here something about Zionist meetings, been here in New York.
Yeah, my father was involved
whether you were
in that.
Introduced to Einstein and Weizmann.
That's maybe a screen memory, but it's not too implausible. I know he spoke of those things, and I have a very vague recollection that that's exactly what happened on one occasion.
And
he was certainly much talked about.
Had you developed any role models at any point along the line?
Well, he was one of them. I wasn't sure I was going to be a physicist, but I generalized from that. But that 1932 letter that I've mentioned, the text is, "I want to be a scientist and study mathematics like Einstein," quote unquote.
You've commented here a little bit about your trip back from Israel. So you spent how much time?
He was somewhere between a role model and a folk hero. It wasn't in the sense that I could have any tangible expectation of matching his accomplishments and so on, but you know, maybe some little bit of it might be imaginable. I just want to clarify that.
Okay.
Then coming back, these have very little to do with science. I had a nasty scrape and ended up with, in retrospect, was that a purulent osteomyelitis on my shins. In retrospect, I shudder that I survived it. It was treated, didn't have antibiotics in those days, and so on. I almost drowned on the voyage, but I was in a swimming pool. The boat was rocked by a sudden wave and was dislodged. That's what I remember. But I did have the image. We'd stopped in Naples between ships for the best part of a week. I did play in the streets around the, must have been a lower second-class hotel, and so on. Got some of the local color, but there was fascism all over the place. It didn't have a strong anti-Semitic tinge at that point yet, so I didn't, wasn't a matter of being personally fearful, but it was. Hitler had already made his start, and there was some image of that. When I came back, this is the story I'm going to tell, landed, came off the pier, and there were signs in all the storefronts. It was the NRA eagle, but my immediate reaction was, had fascism come to the States too, purely in terms of that symbol? I didn't know then that there were people of a different political persuasion who could have said Roosevelt was a fascist, but just that symbolology of the NRA. Well, I disabused myself pretty quickly. But
excuse me, Dr. Henderson is off.
I have
sure.
to take that, excuse me. But I got caught up. You know, I'd been out of the country for 3-4 months and didn't know what was happening. And then I was perfectly capable of, I did certainly from that age and onward, look at the New York Times every day and keep abreast of what was happening politically and so on. It was just being caught unawares, as I say, by the symbology.
Well, I was going to ask you, you had spent, 3-4 months in Israel.
Yeah.
Did you have any sense there of what was the reaction of people there to what was happening in Europe, and did you have any sense of that?
Oh, great fear about what Hitler was up to. But,
you were aware of that as well then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember the headlines and the Reichstag fire and things of that sort. Would it have been Kaltenborn? There was a very good radio commentator.
H.V. Kaltenborn.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where we got a lot of our news from. And if you go through his broadcast, you'll see just what we thought. Over here.
Thank you. We had talked last time about the depression, but one thing we didn't mention was your father's illness, which evidently changed the situation within your family somewhat. That would have been around 1935 or so.
Yeah, I think his first symptoms were about 32. He had a progressive ulcerative colitis that was quite debilitating. And he was sort of barely able to continue functioning through that time. He sort of managed to get by. It was hard.
Did this change the role your mother played in the family then?
Yes. She just had to take a more managerial role, family's affairs. Towards the end of that decade, he was really only able to work part-time, and she started working various things, teaching in school, in Hebrew school. She did some catering, things of that sort. So he worked very, very hard.
So your youngest brother wasn't born yet at this time.
Not until 41.
Just the two of you. have a note here about being reprimanded in school for notes about Lucky Luciano.
Just an incident I have to remember. Just plucked up out of thin air.
He was certainly been in the news that time.
Yeah, well, he was the John Gotti of the time, and I don't remember what the note was about, but it was some wisecrack. And he'd been running a prostitution ring or something of that sort, so that was the context of it. This name figured later that he did do some service to the OSS during World War II.
Yes, that's right.
But he was the most notorious mafia type at the time. I don't remember any more than that. I just recall he got in the hot water.
We've talked about your, 1936, you were in junior high school, but we've talked about your reading, which goes way back, and the types of reading you were doing. Were you trying to establish your own library? Or were these mostly books out of someone else's library?
I couldn't afford it. I mean, I could number the books I was able to buy. So was a public library. I did get Bodansky as a bar mitzvah present. And I got...
Is that your request?
Yes. And I got E.B. Wilson. That was the encyclopedia as a... high school graduation present. I've still got those books. I don't think I own more than two or three others.
Did you start book collecting in any way later on? Building your own library when you were...
No, as soon as I had some income. They were so precious. You see the consequences. A couple of things, segregate them.
Please, come on in here.
Thank you.
of all the geneticists I ever knew at the time, I'd actually read about Garrod
and Bedaski. I knew about it before Beagle did.
That's interesting.
Take prolific notes when you were doing this reading?
I must have, but I have next to nothing.
Really?
From that date. I have a couple of papers I wrote when I was in high school. That's about it in terms of my own writing. But one of them was on the theory of fixation, and the other was how the American Institute Science Lab was on the cytochemistry of the nucleolus. Those are the only things I have with that vintage.
But what I was getting at is, did you take notes as you were getting books out of the library, or did you just commit it to memory?
Oh, no. I took notes. I'm confident of it. In fact, I used to treasure paper to be able to do that. And I'm sure I did things very systematic. Surveys, and I forgot what I did it on, but I remember once I discovered my mother had a roll of 11-inch wide paper. It's used for lining drawers, and what a wonderful thing that was for writing large schemata on. So that was my blackboard. I don't have any of that. I wish I could have had it, too. I recall writing to Louis Fieser something he'd written about carcinogenic polycyclic hydrocarbons, and I had some query about whether their carcinogenic action was related to their similarity of structure to sterols. That would have been the time I was reading Russell Marker and so on. And, I know he responded with a not totally perfunctory way, but a fairly mechanical way. Gave me some reference or other. But I was interested in mechanisms of carcinogenesis. Any chemical that could change life processes in the cell was something very exciting to me while I was in high school. So I guess that's right up to my research program now.
Yes. How did you react to organic chemistry? I found most people either have positive or negative reactions.
Oh, very positive. I was just wonderful, and I wasn't daunted by. There's a memory barrier learning all the names, but I had already hinting a perfect memory at that time, so that was no problem at all. I just gobbled it up, and it made total sense to me. It wasn't something that was just a list of formulas that could deal with them very systematically. And that was the dendrole mentality already operating. So I actually plunged quite deeply into it, but a lot of books. I told you I did some lab experiments at home.
Dye stuffs, things like that.
I remember making a lot of different azo dyes, experimenting with a variety of them, different coupling reagents and so on. Clay Perkin all over again. What I had no idea of, though, and it's taken a long time, was the recency of that. Anything that happens before you're born is all lumped together as prehistoric. And the idea that there were many men still living at that time who had been born before aniline dyes had been discovered, I would have found that very hard to comprehend. I could read a date. I could see a date in 1860s, 1870s, but that might as well have been B.C.
You mentioned Perkin and Kipping, and then Kipping.
Yeah.
They were,
yeah.
Bert, I think they were both alive yet in the 30s. And
Kipling was later than one of the forerunners of silicone chemistry.
Well, again, the reductionism was taking hold. I really felt I could understand physical organic chemistry and the underlying atomic theory of chemical reactions, that would be indispensable to trying to understand biology as well. And it's partly true, partly not. We've been able to skip over a fair amount of that detail. But, doing an X-ray diffraction of DNA fibers sort of somewhere in between. Well, I sort of worked hard to get the laboratories to be able to do that. And it's not a bad paradigm for me. I mean, it's still dedicated to students today to get as deep a ground as they can at that level.
The idea that biological systems had a very important chemical nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what I hear what you're mm-hmm. saying. Was that at that time a generally accepted view, or were there still enough of the traditionalists, classicists around to?
Well, in the books I read, there was a lot of optimism. And it might be an infinite quest, but that was the way to go. So I never questioned it, and I thought that it was sort of old-fashioned and silly to invoke anything outside of chemistry to explain biological phenomena. I would have followed the Wells, Huxley Wells, pretty closely on that. I think that's pretty much their perspective on it. And I was never taught anything the contrary, either in school or wherever. This question was either skirted or a fairly mechanistic approach adopted. Now, there were the different levels of vitalism. There's, de jure and de facto. And there would have been people who would have scoffed at the idea that you, in practice, could dissect the gene chemically. That was so awesome. That would be another 500 years. And I may have been tinged with a little bit of that, just a great respect for complexity, as you've heard me articulate elsewhere. So there was that ambivalence of an ultimate optimism, but a fair amount of humility on the way.